Welcome back to Contagion Community, the new podcast from Contagion, where we discuss the intersections between infectious disease and social determinants of health. My name is Nina Cosden, and I'll be your host this episode. November is C. difficile Awareness Month. Clostridioides difficile causes a very significant and deadly disease burden. As our guest this episode, Dr. Tina Chopra, will highlight, it causes an estimated 500,000 infections just in the U.S. alone, and over $1 billion in healthcare-associated costs. The resilient spores make patients highly contagious and prone to recurrences. Coincidentally, it's also Antimicrobial Awareness Week, when we promote using antibiotics prudently and intentionally. C. diff is difficult to treat, but using powerful antibiotics can actually exacerbate the problem by wiping out the good bacteria and leaving the resilient spores to germinate unchecked. For this latest episode, we interviewed Dr. Tina Chopra about her unique experience in treating C. diff and other hospital-acquired infections in an underserved patient population in Detroit. Thanks for tuning in. So could you start for us by introducing yourself and sharing a bit about your current positions?
Sure. So I'm Tina Chopra. I'm a professor of infectious diseases at Wayne State University. I've been here for 17 years, and I'm also the corporate medical director for hospital epidemiology, infection prevention, and antibiotic stewardship at the Detroit Medical Center. And my research interests include hospital-acquired infections, including Clostridioides difficile, multi-drug resistant gram-negative infections, immunization. So those are some of my research interests.
And how did you come to specialize in these infectious diseases?
Sure. So I did my training, part of my training, medical school in India. We saw a lot of infectious diseases in India, and that was the trigger for me to pursue this field. And then when I came here 17 years ago, I happened to be mentored by some of the greatest, you know, infectious disease physicians like Dr. Jack Sobel, Keith Kay, and those people have really inspired me all this time to pursue infectious diseases. And of course, you know, most recently, the pandemic happened and further revealed the healthcare disparities here in Detroit, which is really underserved. And I have continued to work with this community for the past 17 years.
November is C. difficile Awareness Month. So are you able to talk about what is C. diff and what are the associated health implications?
Sure. Clostridioides difficile, as the name indicates, it's a very difficult organism. It's a bacteria. It's a gram-positive sporulating bacteria that causes diarrhea. And it is just not simple diarrhea. It causes an inflammatory diarrhea, which can really be affecting your quality of life and can cause recurrent disease. And that's why it's really very difficult for our patients. It's a very difficult organism to treat, difficult to diagnose, difficult to prevent, because it is sporulating, so the spores can spread very easily and they're hard to kill, and it can be easily transmitted. And also CDC has labeled it as an urgent public health threat most recently. And given the fact that it causes recurrent disease, it really destroys the microbiome of the patients, and it keeps recurring in them, and because of this dysbiosis that happens in their gut and causes very high morbidity and mortality.
Obviously, you work in infectious disease, you work with these highly resistant pathogens. So you and other specialists are aware of the prevalence and the severity of C. diff infection. But why is it that the public is largely unaware?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that we as the healthcare community needs to raise more awareness for C. diff. Usually for antibiotic awareness, there is a week dedicated to antibiotic awareness, but for C. diff, a whole month has been dedicated for a reason. For a reason, because like I said, it causes 500,000 infections in a year and very high mortality annually in the US, with more than $1 billion in healthcare costs. So all of these things, in addition to the fact that it affects the patient's quality of life, there was a huge study that was done a few years ago which described more than 50% of patients in that study reported that they never felt after getting C. diff, they never really felt the same, which means they were never normal. They kept on having repeated episodes of diarrhea. So I think it's important to raise awareness in the community and to educate our community about it, because when patients are, they have C. diff and they go home, they really need to understand how they can prevent recurrences, how they need to be treated, how they can prevent transmission to others in the family.
In your practice, you work with a lot of patients who are maybe marginalized or just overlooked in the healthcare sphere. So, can you talk a bit about this?
Sure, yeah. I practice in Detroit, and as I mentioned, I've been here for 17 years. Detroit population is underserved socially, fiscally underserved, with high comorbid illnesses, including diabetes, hypertension, advanced age, more than 65 years of age of our population, nursing home patients. All of these contribute, make them high risk for illnesses, different kinds of illnesses, including C. diff. Now, when, like I was mentioning, when a C. diff patient is treated in the hospital and they are discharged, transitions of cares for these patients are very important. They're very critical that when it's not just the responsibility of the treating physician, but when the patient is discharged home or into the nursing home or the community, everybody needs to be aware of how to take care of these patients, including the family members and the caregivers. Because C. diff can spread very rapidly and it can recur. These patients need to complete their treatment. Usually they are discharged after 3 to 4 days of treatment, and they need to complete treatment for at least 10 to 14 days. So in Detroit, where we have this marginalized population, sometimes they don't have access to their medications that we give them to treat C. diff. So that is one gap in underserved populations. Two, transitions of care are very weak. Three, awareness about antibiotics is very poor. So they still, somebody will give them antibiotics unnecessarily and they will come back with a recurrence. And it'll further aggravate the vicious cycle of recurrence because their microbiome has not completely recovered from the previous episode. And, one episode of C. diff, the chances of recurrence can be as high as 50%, particularly in high-risk populations. And then, of course, the risk of severe C. diff is very high in them, with a very high mortality rate. So all of these factors have to be kept in mind, particularly in populations like Detroit. And hence, there is more resources needed to raise awareness, provide those resources to family and caregivers and patients so that we can sort of break this cycle of a vicious cycle of recurrence in these patients.
You mentioned that after discharge, it's really vital for patients to continue with a course of treatment. So I'm curious, in patients who are underserved or don't have access to the traditional standard of care that other patients might, how do you promote this continued treatment?
This requires a very strong networking and collaboration between area pharmacists, between awareness and education for family members, caregivers, nursing homes, community hospitals, strong transitions of care where when we are discharging patients, we have a foolproof plan on what antibiotics they are on, when to stop, how long to continue. How to manage infection prevention wherever they go, whether home or nursing homes, having a dedicated bathroom, for example, washing hands, because these patients are shedding their spores for a long period of time, even up to 3 months sometimes. So how do we clean the environmental surfaces where they are, the rooms where they go to? All of those things have to be communicated. Strong transitions of care, which involve help of a pharmacist, a social worker, for example, a family advocate. Of course, their treating physician, their primary care physicians when they are going to follow up with. So all of those things have to be organized, and there has to be strong collaboration.
Why is it that C. diff infections are overrepresented among marginalized patient populations?
Like I mentioned, the most important factor is lack of education, lack of awareness of what the disease is, the fact that C. diff is an urgent public health threat, the social vulnerability index, which takes into account poverty, education level, residence. All of these things have a huge impact. Just like with COVID, it has really unearthed the weak infrastructure and the fact that it has unearthed the health disparities that exist in our country. They exist for everything, not only for COVID, for C. diff as well, which is a illness that has such high morbidity and mortality. And you can see that, these patients that, but talking about the Detroit population, the patients that reside in Detroit, they are socially, fiscally underserved. They are a large majority of them are older, more than 65 years of age, which is also one of the common risk factors for C. diff, because, like I said, C. diff is a illness which produces toxins. The organism produces toxins in our intestine, and we fight it by producing antibodies. But older patients cannot mount the antibody response, so they're at high risk for C. diff, and they are also at high risk for severe C. diff. Also, this population is more likely to have comorbid illnesses like obesity, diabetes. All of them affect our gut microbiome, which is the primary reason why C. diff is common, when there is dysbiosis, when we don't have enough colonization resistance in our gut. C. diff tends to colonize our gut and then the spores germinate and the disease happens. So all of these factors are more likely to happen in this particular population.
Do you have any best practices for presenting C. diff or in other highly resistant organisms?
Sure. For example, we started the Center for Emerging Infectious Diseases here in Detroit at Wayne State University for this very purpose. We are spreading awareness about common diseases. We are spreading awareness about emerging infectious diseases. And we hold routine webinars. We go out in the community, do a lot of outreach. Recently, I started a program of ambassador program where our medical students go out there in the community and talk about stewardship practices, vaccine. They act as vaccine ambassadors. They act as disease awareness ambassadors. And those are some of the projects that we are undertaking. Also, the university has mobile clinics, vans that go out into the different populations of Detroit, and the mobile units go to them and do screening, taking blood pressures, administering vaccines, doing COVID tests, and talking about their general health. So those are some of the initiatives that we have undertaken here in Detroit.
And are you able to talk a bit about any health disparities you see across your other specialties?
I think they are across the board. Like I said, hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, they are much common in the population, in the predominantly African American population. And when the pandemic happened, it pretty much revealed these health disparities, the social determinants of health. And at a point, there was an indication that African Americans are more likely to die of COVID, which was not true. We did a huge study and we found that race has nothing to do with COVID mortality. It's really the social determinants of health, the social vulnerability index, which drives the mortality. And the social vulnerability index, like I mentioned, takes into account factors like per capita income, poverty, residence. So patients who came from a particular zip code were more likely to die than from others, because these are the patients who are highly vulnerable. They have a high social vulnerability index.
And knowing that there are patients who are more vulnerable, where do we go from here to ensure everyone gets the best care?
Right, and that's a great question. I think this is a question for the entire nation. In fact, for the entire world. We are all global citizens, and having that uniform, consistent healthcare for all is where we need to move towards. We can all do our part. Raising awareness for the community is extremely important, and grassroots efforts are extremely important here. And starting from a very young age, we need to start educating and raising awareness.
Well, thank you so much for sharing these insights and for discussing how we can best protect these most vulnerable populations.
Thank you for having me. This was really interesting, and thank you for all the wonderful questions.
What infectious disease disparities do you want covered next? We want to hear from you, so please feel free to send feedback to me at ncosdon@mjhlifesciences.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Contagion Community.